welcome to episode 367 of the Parkrun Adventurers podcast, a podcast about life, if your life is all about parkrun. My name is Melissa Ellis, and I'm coming to you from Wurundjeri country.
And I am Ollie Spake, and I'm joining once again from Darawal country, once again by myself, without the campground.
And 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. This is unfamiliar territory for me, Mel.
I know. You can give us an update on how the duathlon went.
Well, yes. Successful, thank you. We didn't medal this year because last year, of course, we managed to nab a bronze in our category. But, thanks to some excellent swimming in the opening leg by Beck Bailey, we did manage to pull through, and I think we were the 17th mixed team out of something like 50 or 60 mixed teams. The overwhelming feeling that I would have another one of the Windang clan, Beck's housemate Lance, creeping up on me at any point in time in the run kept me going, and it's pleased to say it's the first time I've run 7Ks without stopping since November. So
so you can do it.
I can do it.
You just need the motivation.
That's right. Just needed the motivation. So, much lower than last year.
I was going to say, never mind about the medals. We're all just interested to know if you beat Lance.
Well, no, Lance beat me by a couple of minutes. But, fortunately and unfortunately for Lance and the other Windang clan housemate, the swimming leg won it.
Wow. Well done, Beck.
Yes.
Good-o.
So, I needed someone to carry me, not unlike this podcast, but but it was a good morning, and we had Hannah and James in the fun run and lots of park runners around. And in fact, and I only realised this today, the long course female winner was, in fact, a former Shell Harbour Parkrun junior. So there we go. Yeah.
You have to always find a way to get it in.
I have to. Absolutely.
Yes. Now, one thing that we forgot to mention coming back after our Christmas break, Ollie, and I thought I would bring it up, is that we are now in our 9th year of the podcast.
Yeah. Season 9.
This little pod started back on the 6th of January 2016. So we missed our 8th birthday. We weren't even recording. But, so here we are in our 9th year and our 4th year as co-hosts. Yes.
Wow. Where has the time gone? And a lot has changed in those 4 years. We've seen, obviously, the massive return of parkrun, as we've been noting in some of the recent episodes, with attendance and volunteering participation numbers over the summer, and contrasting quite significantly to when we took over during the COVID time.
And I think the pod has evolved as well. So it's quite a different podcast to the format. We did probably put our own spin on it, so it is different to how it started, but, elements do remain the same.
That's right. And we will always recommend, if any of our listeners haven't checked out the back catalogue, please go ahead. That's what got me hooked in the first place. And there are some great, great parkrun adventures, interviews and other fantastic segments that have come and gone over that time in there as well.
And probably one of the big differences is we have not done as many interviews, I guess, as Scott and I used to do. But we might have somebody that has previously been interviewed on the past coming back in a little while. So look out for that in the upcoming weeks.
Yeah, I do look forward to that, Mel. And, another year begins. And, it has been an exciting beginning to the year in the parkrun world. But I suppose a little closer to home, and a little closer to now, how was your parkrun day, Mel?
Well, I went to Studley Park Run, also on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri people, and it brought my visits to Studley to 6, as I often visit to meet my interstate parkrun friends who are staying in the CBD. And this time it was Sarah Jefferson and Matt Stevens who were in town visiting family and enjoying the activities in Melbourne, such as the Oz Open and the Princess Diana exhibition. It was event 347, and we were amongst a crowd of 368, which was second only to their course record of 379 finishes set back in February 2020, just prior to the COVID pause. There was excitement all round with Medibank, Australia's presenting partner, on location giving out free T-shirts and Channel 9 filming footage for the news due to the 1 millionth participant milestone. I enjoyed a relaxed run chat with Sarah after Matt left us in his dust, but sadly we didn't have the opportunity to enjoy brunch together as I dropped them back to their motel shortly after we finished so they could check out. Nevertheless, always a pleasure to catch up with my friends from the West Side, however briefly. Not much else to report this week. I had a rare week off from volunteering at Juniors, although Lucy didn't afford me the luxury of a day off from our morning walk. On a final note, although I believe Parkrun Australia has not, to our knowledge, named the 1 millionth participant, it could very well have occurred at Studley Parkrun, amongst the 37 parkrunners recording their very first parkrun.
Yeah. Do we think it was in Victoria?
Well, you can't prove it wasn't.
I'm sure someone will calculate it, but then we'll see the results updated anyway. So, yeah, I can't disprove your claim, Mel. So today's world, you're right. Yep.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, but no, it sounds like a fabulous parkrun day with friends.
It was, and boosting my numbers for my PNX. So Studley's up there with amongst the events that I have frequented the most.
Yes.
Giving me another option, so.
Not a bad parkrun by the sounds of it to be boosting the PNX, as you have pointed out, it being a suitable one for visitors. I am due a visit to my sister at some point in Melbourne, so.
Oh, you haven't done Studley.
I haven't done Studley.
That's going to be my next visit then.
Oh, there we are.
Good. All right. Book it in. But what about you, Oliver? What did you get up to at Shell Harbour on the weekend?
At Shell Harbour on the weekend, I was the run director as we welcomed also a swather of first-timers and visitors to our park run, and in what was our largest crowd on the new course, I believe, or at least the largest crowd since the beginning of January 2021. So, it has been a pleasure to see a lot of visitors come through, international, domestic, and some returning familiar faces that haven't been back at our park run for some time. I guess pretty happily I can say it was a fairly uneventful parkrun day. We did have a dash of baking as we celebrated one of the team's 250th parkrun. Congratulations to Vera, who is often our volunteer coordinator, but not a listener. So, Vera, I'll have to get you listening so you can hear your congratulations. I was keeping it fairly low-key, Mel, but, with the return, as we mentioned, with the aquathon and running, I have been back out there running a bit more and, that somehow managed to clock up 3 consecutive days of semi-decent running. So it's coming back. I'm remembering how to do it and, I look forward to my next park run not too far away.
That's good, Ollie, but you're not supposed to run every day. You're supposed to have rest days. So you're still doing it wrong. And does that mean you went and ran and did the course check, I suppose, before you run directed?
No, I had a little gym workout running session beforehand where I made the mistake of admitting to the trainer afterwards that that I hadn't been going at full energy or full pelt or whatever the appropriate terminology is. So I've been warned that I need to improve.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Okay, so positive reinforcement isn't kind of the tactic.
No. Yeah, he's tough.
He must be military.
Yeah, so a nice parkrun day. Thanks, Mel.
Excellent.
But I suppose, as you did mention in your recap, and switching across to our news and discussion, the 1 millionth participant is kind of a big thing, and it has been it's been lovely to see that marked, as we have seen with that 1 millionth participant in Australia, the release of the limited edition drink bottle. So Parkrun Australia sharing an exclusive 750ml limited edition I'm One in a Million bottle, crafted from I should have read this word beforehand. Crafted from robust, borosilicate glass?
Looks, yeah, you
know,
good job.
The scientists and the listeners are going to call me out on that. I know it. This bottle ensures durability while it's airtight. Bamboo lid provides a stylish and eco-friendly seal. The material composition, comprising natural bamboo and borosilicate glass, guarantees a BPA-free experience. I feel like I'm on a game show, Mel.
You're on the showcase.
That's right. And this could all be yours. Yeah.
Yeah, but do we need another drink bottle? Like, I looked at it, and I've got my barcode drink bottle that I never use. I shouldn't say that, but I don't need another drink bottle that I don't use.
Well, seemingly there are some more potential customers out there with the bunch of park runners that rocked up at the weekend. So I can only presume that there must be some interested potential buyers. And I have to admit, I haven't bought a park run drink bottle. So I've still got my park run keep cup, but I at one stage lost the rubber ring around it. So now I burn my hand every time I pick it up. So
okay. Well, I lost the little plug that plugs the hole in the park run keep cup. So mine sloshes.
So it sounds like what we're saying is
between us, we could get one.
That's right.
I'll buy you a plug off you.
That's right. Oh,
goodness me. But yeah, so that did dominate, didn't it? The Parkrun Australia social media this week, the 1 millionth participant was dominating. But I might just add as well, Colin Thorne was still dominating the media as well. I put my TV on, my smart TV, and intending to watch something on Netflix, and the main screen that came up had Colin Thorne. And I was so confused. Why is my TV showing me Colin Thorne?
It knows you. Yeah.
Yes, everything listens. I think it was a YouTube clip. So he was continuing to make headlines.
Yeah, which is, I mean, as we said last week, it's wonderful to see. You know, the experiences and the stories of others really do inspire us. And Collins is absolutely a huge a great example of that. And one thing I failed to mention in my own recap is I had a first-time volunteer come along. Turns out one of Zali's classmates came and marshalled with his mum and his younger brother. So after telling Zali, she's declared that she wants to complete 5Ks with Nonna next parkrun day. So
Good.
So that's my very, very tenuous link there to Colin Thorne. Not drawing comparisons there, but yeah, absolutely an inspirational story, and clearly your telly thinks so.
There was another social media post that came to us through ABC News, and I clicked on it to watch. It was a video piece, and it was Victorian based, so I assume. It would have been played through ABC Melbourne, I guess. And it was based out at the Frankston Conservation Reserve Parkrun. But one of the celebrity parkrunners that they often have out there, Ross Noble, if you're familiar with comedian Ross Noble.
Yes.
He was in that package as well. And I'm no doubt Frankston would have shared it on their socials, but it was definitely through ABC News that I picked up on that little piece and had a good look at that. And that was showcasing, you know, a lot of mostly their regular parkrun volunteers, and highlighting how parkrun had changed their life, as we know it does.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, we're talking about different forms of media here, but it does seem to be showing parkrun increasingly becoming more and more mainstream, you know, and I know the maths you can't technically say it's one in 27 because, you know, we're fortunate enough to have had so many international visitors, you know, park running with us and whatnot, as in one in 27 Australians, given that number. But it's clearly a high proportion, relatively speaking, of the population. And my point being, if you listen to one of the time capsule episodes, I think it was Scotty and Mel some time ago, you know, one of those predictions or dreams for the future was, you know, you can have a chat to someone on your street and they know exactly what parkrun is. It's that sort of, it's part of that everyday vernacular and familiar activity. And it's great to see more and more people discovering it.
I'm trying to do my bit with my car.
Yes. Yeah. Doing a very good job by touring around the country with it, Mel.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But in other news, Ollie, let's jump to the next item. Mm. It was Australian of the Year was announced. Obviously, we celebrated in Australia, Australia Day on Friday. Now, it was joint Australian of the Years, and one of the pair was parkrunners. So congratulations to one of Greenway Parkrun's regular parkrunners, Professor Richard Scollier, on being named the joint Australian of the Year with his colleague, Professor Georgina Long, for their pioneering work in melanoma treatment. The pair, accredited with saving the lives of thousands of Australians whose diagnosis of skin cancer would once have proven fatal but are now largely curable. But Scollier used his moment in the national spotlight to talk about his diagnosis with stage 4 brain cancer. Long and Scollier's scientific partnership has led to the use of immunotherapy in the treatment of melanoma, but it was Scollier's own 2023 diagnosis that led to groundbreaking discoveries in the life-changing applications of their immunotherapy approach when he and Long developed a series of world-first treatments based on their melanoma work. By undertaking an experimental treatment at the risk of shortening his own life, Scollier has advanced the understanding of brain cancer and is benefiting future patients. And I now quote, "Devising this world-first experimental treatment for my type of brain cancer was bold. For me, the decision to take on Georgina's groundbreaking plan was a no-brainer. Here was an opportunity for us to crack another incurable cancer and make a difference, if not for me, then for others," he said. Well, back on the issue of melanoma, the pair are also urging advertisers and social media influencers to stop glamorizing tanning or using it for advertising. So, Ollie, we can, I guess, try to assist in getting the message out through our small channel.
Yes.
But obviously, what an amazing man. Well, both of them, but to be turning around his own misfortune to try to make a difference in the world, I just think that's incredible. So just congratulations. And I know Greenway Parkrun also shared the information on his win and made him feel very special on the last parkrun day as well. I saw there was a video of him crossing the line and getting cheered on.
And that's, you know, wonderful. And you know, thank you, Mel, for, you know, sharing a bit more of you know, Professor Richard's story and journey, because it is obviously so incredible and such a potential impact. I've been out of the loop and I really can't believe that I didn't understand or know too much about the work of Professor Richard and Professor Georgina, but obviously the potential for them to provide such a positive impact and in helping find a pathway towards, you know, curing an incurable, so far incurable form of cancer and something so personal to him is incredible. And yeah, not wanting to steal anyone's thunder there, Mel, but wouldn't it be nice to see potentially a bucket hat that maybe promotes the message there?
A bucket hat?
A bucket hat.
Like at the BBL. Okay. I could make one of those. Could we have adventure of merch?
Well, even our good friends at Parkrun Australia. I mean, what a great potential partnership that could be. But
Yes. Now, and I did also want to say, while we're on this topic, I was watching The Project, which is an Australian light-hearted, I think, current affairs program. They did interview both professors on their win, and he did manage to drop Parkrun into the conversation. Unfortunately, it was because he was sporting a large graze on the side of his face, and when questioned as to what had occurred, he had woken up late for parkrun, like in Mel style, and rather than his usual manner of getting to parkrun, which I assume would be jogging down there, he decided to ride his bike, and it came a cropper.
So not the Stack Club technically, but yes. That sounds rough. Yeah.
So anyway, parkrun mentioned on The Project as well. So there we go. We've just been all over the media this last week in Australia.
Really have.
Mainstream media.
Yeah. Congratulations to them. And, I suppose also on the news and discussion side, but technically it is an email from Bill Barker, who has written in, and we'll share this one now as we have a couple of emails, and said, "Hi, Mel and Ollie, or Toc, Simon, sending in a request that the adventurers start a running league. In the Purple 5K app, in the section that has parkrun, clubs, friends, etc., is leagues. You can make a public or private league. Points are calculated on your age grading. However, if you volunteer in a job that finds you not running or walking, timekeeper, for example, you get top points. However, you do have to run or walk eventually, as you only get points volunteering for a set amount of weeks. Leagues add some extra enjoyment to the run. The winner of the league could claim the title of Adventure Business at the Front 2024. And in the bottom half of the field, someone that competes, in brackets, gets points each week, could claim the title of Adventurers Party at the Back 2024. Sent in for consideration, regards, Bill, in brackets, formerly from Goulburn, now the Newcastle Nomad. So many great courses, can't decide on a home course." So, Mel, there's a bit there to unpack. Firstly, our region of runners, park runners, it sounds like Bill's up for grabs. Who wants to claim him? But that aside, yeah, I haven't looked into the league's side of the 5K app, so this is, in fact, news to me.
Yes, and I'm not familiar with it either. It has the potential, I believe, to maybe cause some competition in a way that I guess parkrun as a whole tends to try to avoid, against other people in that respect, rather than competing against yourself.
Yes.
But I do understand the added motivation of being part of something, and which also could motivate people to volunteer for points reasons.
That's true. That's true. And I'm sure we all have different length competitive bones in our body, and some may in fact have none. It does provide consideration if that's a motivator, because I can certainly think of a few that have had even just that silent competition with the the park runner in front. This is that other form of motivation.
Or the Windang housemate.
Yes, but also I do like Bill's got a very strong pitch in theming some of those titles that could be obtained. With the business at the front and the party at the back. But, I'd be curious for other people's thoughts. Certainly here, Mel, I don't like to force people into competition, particularly if they're there for the enjoyment. But, I welcome another form of inclusion if it provides that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm. So I guess let us know.
Yeah.
Let us know in the comments of the episode on Facebook, or write in and give us your opinion. Is this something that you think would add value to the podcast, and how much work would it involve? Because I don't need any more work.
No, perhaps
maybe
not.
Bill's up volunteering.
So stay tuned for the end of this podcast for our email address and our ways to contact us if you haven't heard them many, many times before. But from the theme of inclusivity, Mel, to exclusivity,
Nice segue. Yeah.
We've perhaps got a little bit of an update, a palm update.
We got a couple, actually.
We do. Yeah.
Are you want to go first or second?
Oh. We hadn't talked about this, had we? Fun job.
You go first.
All right. So, firstly, the exclusivity teaser. Those of you that have been listening to the pod will know our Parkrun Adventure Listener Meetup for 2024 is in Toowoomba. It's in April. And for those joining us at Palm 24, there's a bit of exclusive merch going to be available on site, on location in Toowoomba. And stay tuned.
Yes.
Stay tuned for more details.
Yep, we're not announcing what it is yet. You just have to wait.
it's not the shirt that's still available, but won't be for very much longer.
Something new. And we're very excited about. And, there'll be more to come in upcoming weeks. But also, while we're giving you little teasers about Palm, we've got another exciting announcement, and that is the theme for the dress-up night that we traditionally have at the listener meetup. Now, what have we had over the years, Ollie? Ooh. They've generally been quite broad. Like, I think the very first year was just come in a dress-up.
Yes.
And it could have just
Harry
been...
I was Harry Potter, I believe.
You were.
Yes.
You were. I was a Mexican.
That's right. Good Victorian costume.
And the next year, where were we? Newcastle.
I was a rock star.
Yeah, I was Alice in Wonderland.
At least I thought I was. Yeah.
What would have that have been?
Goodness.
I'll come as a character, maybe? Mm. Can you remember what the...
We've done our research this week, haven't we?
Your
research.
This I think one it might have just been dress up as anything again. Where did we go after? We went to South Australia.
Yes.
And then we had the 1920s.
The 20s.
That was the theme.
There were some classy outfits at that Palm, I must admit. Yes.
Yeah, I wasn't really very I didn't think up a very good idea for that one. I just came dressed in 1920s.
Yes.
Clothing. Well, actually, so did you.
Yeah.
We took the easy option that year.
I think many of us did, which is why the following year in Nambour, I think we got a bit more lateral and it was parkrun related. Nice narrow theme for this audience.
That's right. And you were the barcode app.
I was the virtual volunteer app, and I'm still looking for excuses to wear that costume.
What did I? Oh, I was brunch.
You were.
It was a cupcake.
Yes.
And then we went to Tassie.
That's right.
Tassie.
Next was Tassie for the pea party.
Where you were a pharaoh.
Yes, I was promoting Fekrun. The website's still there, I believe. You can still register as a Fek runner.
And I was a pink lady.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we went to West Australia last year. And what was our theme?
West
was our theme, where I was just dressed as a cowgirl and you were a black swan.
Yeah, I was one of the lesser elegant black swans there, but yes.
So as you can tell from just divulging our previous costumes, there's a lot of interpretation that's acceptable when it comes to parkrun costumes. Palm costumes. So,
some people, I do believe, manage to find a way to wear the same costume to every single
dress-up
night, or the same shirt, I should say. But
not mentioning any names, Brenda Peel.
Yes.
Anyway, we've rabbited on enough about that. The actual theme for Palm 2024 is flower power, being that we are going to be in the town of flowers.
That's right. So, read into that what you will,
yep.
Adventurers.
We're not going to give you any more tips. Just run with it.
We'll just encourage you. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But, yeah, thank you, Mel. So that's it for the updates and the hinting for now. But I'm sure in the pods coming up, listeners, adventurers that might be coming along would want to stay tuned and listen in for a bit more information. But this is where I would usually throw to the roving reports. But we don't have any roving reports. We're all caught up. And that being the case, it's time for Daz's.
And we didn't insert what Daz has said this week.
Could you see that expression on my face? No. So as I very quickly scroll up this week at Daz's, Daz was in fact reflecting and said, each week Daz trawls the Google machine for special days to celebrate. Imagine his excitement when he found out today is Chocolate Cake Day. Who wants a piece? Come on in, place your order and tell us all about your parkrun adventures this weekend.
And while I quickly added our names beside the entries while you were speaking, first up we had Roberta Winters coming to us from Kingsland, and she said, hey Dazza, I headed to Ocean View Parkrun today for their 250th event, and they must have known about Chocolate Cake Day as they had a chocolate cake at the finish line. And Roberta shared a lovely photo of herself in the Ocean View selfie frame, and happy 250th Ocean View. It is one on my bucket list, I will admit.
Now, we heard in South Australia from Tracy Kavanagh, who said, celebrated my 250th parkrun at Seacliff Esplanade Parkrun's 250th event. And Tracy shared a photo of herself in a 250 cake by the ocean. That almost sounds like the song Cake by the Ocean.
I don't know that song.
It's all in my head now.
You move around a lot. I am noticing, Ollie. You don't with the video stop on. Yeah. Jigging.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm standing up.
So, yeah, that's good work, marrying up your 250th park run with the 250th anniversary. Good work, Tracy. Now, we also heard from Dave Allmark coming to us from WA, and he said, some of the old farts, Franz, Kev, Michael, went to Whitford Notes Parkrun today, but with Andrew Yeatman having other engagements, I have had to step up with the post. Unfortunately, I failed to get a photo of us too. That's Andrew Yeatman's job. But here's a photo of the waiter slash waitress at Breakfords afterwards. And this photo was really cool, Ollie. So it was a robot waiter at the brunch venue bringing food to the table. And somebody sitting there with their parkrun shirt on, but I don't know who that was.
It's photo evidence nonetheless, but yeah, excellent. Well, okay, in New South Wales, Kathy Crispin checked in and said, touristed today and Cowra Parkrun, you did not disappoint. What a truly picturesque, friendly and enjoyable parkrun. The vista was stunning. We were incredibly blessed with cooler running weather despite yesterday's heat. The countryside is green and the undulating concrete two-lap course was just right, and the volunteers were lovely too. No chocolate cake this morning, a beautiful morning. And the photo there of Kathy and a friend with a bark runner showing the lovely conditions at Cowra there.
Now we heard from Brett Bailey coming to us from across the ditch, and he said, yum, chocolate cake. Sorry, Dazza, no time for that. Handed out finish tokens at Pegasus Parkrun, then straight to the annual muscle car show to help marshal in the car park. Fundraising for the surf club. So busy, so hot. And a photo of Brett and co at Pegasus in their volley vest. So there's a bit in that. So not only was he volunteering at juniors, he was volunteering at a car show that was raising money for the volunteer surf lifesavers. So good on you, Brett.
Absolutely. And Mel, not wanting to call you out there, but I think you were manifesting future park runs on Pegasus there.
What did I say?
I think you may have said juniors, but
did I? Did
Brett,
I really?
You've got your instructions.
Thanks for pointing that out. I could have edited it, but now I have to leave it in. Oh
sorry. Yeah. Oh, that's all right. I'm sure there's some good pronunciation coming up. So Chantelle Hosking in New Zealand as well said, visited Whangarei today and got on New Zealand most event list. and the screenshot provided proved the most events list achievement there. And it's the Fung again, Mel.
I know, any excuse. That's how they got in. Chantel's post got in this week because it mentioned the Fung. Oh, no, but good effort, Chantel, too.
Yes.
Really good effort.
Yeah.
Now, we also heard from Chloe Bravos even, also from WA, because she said, "This is the face of a child who just dropped their Zooper Duper. Lucky it's a day for chocolate cake. We had a great time at Wanneroo Park Run, and thanks to their lovely RD, who swooped in with a fresh Zooper for Lucy after he witnessed the tragedy firsthand." And there was a photo of the three Bravosses in the selfie frame showing a very sad little Lucy. She is so cute, and I'm glad she got a replacement Zooper Duper.
Yes, justice. Andrew Blander.
Coming to us from?
I believe that was Victoria.
It's not what I wrote.
Saying, "Look who travelled to the second greatest state today." With a disclaimer saying, "Depends on where one resides normally as to which state is deemed greatest." YMMV.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I didn't know what that meant. What do you think?
I haven't got an answer to that one.
Yeah.
I am stumped easily. Just ask, yes, a certain bicycle character. But, yes, coming to us from the greatest state, there we are. And the photo there Andrew shared was him in his adventurous shirt in the Benalla Botanical Gardens selfie frame.
Righto. And lastly, we heard from Mark Hibbard, coming to us from New South Wales. "Chocolate cake and coffee and a nice place to relax and listen to the hottest 100 in Taree. Thanks for the lovely Zooper Duper, Taree Parkrun." So there's another mention for the Zooper Duper. And, yeah, it was hottest 100 weekend. Did you listen?
I did. I forgot to mention that in the recap. Yeah, that's essential listening in our household every year.
Did Padum-Padum get in?
Padum-Padum did get in. Woo-hoo. I can't recall. I think it may have been in about the 40s, 41, something like that. I can't recall. Okay. Yeah.
Rightio. So, yeah, photo of Mark there in the Taree selfie frame. So thanks for writing in, Mark.
Yes. And just incidentally, in the hottest 100, sad to say that Voyager, our Australian Eurovision entrants, I don't think made an appearance in the top 100 or 200. I did vote for them, but nonetheless.
You should have told me.
They've done us
proud. Could have made the difference.
Never mind.
We could have had a campaign, Ollie, next year.
We could.
Mm. Oh. One job.
One job. Yeah. Well, okay. Now I have a different one job, I believe. That's not the envelope. Yes. So.
Got the camera ready. Did anybody actually go onto the pod post last week? I posted the photo proving we actually have an envelope. So if you didn't, go back to the last episode's pod post and look in the comments and you'll see the photo. I'm about to take another one.
Yeah, just don't look too closely at the details in the photo there. Yeah, this particular envelope wasn't even clearly labelled, but
is the office lady getting a bit slack?
I don't think I'm in a position to pass.
Do we have to call her out?
Any blame? No, no. When one leaves post-it notes everywhere in the office, one doesn't criticise others. But, yes, this week's OB goes to...
Oh, hang on. I need a photo.
The old farts.
Yes, you have to say it too. This is not a visual medium, but it's good for the photo. Thank you.
That's absolutely right. So congratulations, Dave. Well done stepping up when Andrew was otherwise occupied, and that photo was excellent. So well done, our tech-savvy old farts, and congratulations.
Hooray. Okay. Now we're going to move on to our emails. I'll take the first one, seeing as we haven't named those either. And, gee, we've been slack today, haven't we? But anyway, the first one comes to us from Andy Airy. And he said, "Hi, guys. Please mention to your listeners who may be visiting Europe at the end of September that a group of 115 tourists are going to Pokkanen.
Pokkanen, yes.
Pokkanen Parkrun, which is the most northern event in the world. Oulu is close to the Arctic Circle and they get on average 16 participants per week. Finland has only had 6 occasions in its 5.5-year history where there have been more than 100 turn up. When we run on the 28th of September, we will have the second highest turnout, although I am expecting nearer 200 on the day. Now, there is a list of 6 dates. No?
Yes.
Yes. What?
I believe so.
These are attendance numbers.
Attendance.
Ollie, of why did I give myself this email?
So, yes. So these are the occasions where more than 100 have turned up. So number one, the highest attendance there is Tokenranta, and the in-laws were really enjoy my terrible Finnish pronunciation here, with 166, and that was on the 18th of May, 2023. Tampere, second highest, third highest, fourth highest, and fifth highest. So 126, 112, 110, and 105 respectively, and the dates there ranging through 2018, 2017, and 2022. I'm skipping the details there. My apologies. But number six, Pulamari. With 102 on the 16th of October, 2021.
Excellent. I can take over from here. We are even taking our own RD, Lorna, who lives a lot further south in Finland and is on track to be the only person to be run director at every Finnish event.
Ooh.
To add a bit more fun to this Airy Airways adventure, we are all travelling from Helsinki on Friday night in the sleeper train. We arrive at Oulu train station after a 9-hour, 18-stop journey at 8:15 a.m. where we will walk 1 kilometre to the start line. Most of us are staying at the Radisson Blue Hotel, which is 2 minutes' walk from the finish of the Finnish event. The hotel has agreed to extend breakfast till midday so we can start checking in after park faff. So if anyone is in Europe this September, come and join us for this once-in-a-lifetime experience. Keep up the great work, and I love the positivity of your pod. Andy Airy, A1083171, and he says, P.S., when you go on the Finnish Parkrun page and translate to English, the event is called Crazy Parkrun. Thanks, Andy.
Yeah.
Thanks for giving the listeners the heads up. And I do believe Andy has a Facebook group. We've mentioned it before. That Airy Airways, it's just a group of like-minded people where Andy organises group tours.
Yes, for people to connect at various park runs. And that sounds like an amazing experience. I did see some video footage of the course set up over there at Pokkanen in the dark, in the snow, and it looks like one unique experience, obviously different time of year to this particular one. It'll be much lighter at that point. But I digress. We also heard from Paddy, and I would say that would be our one and only Paddy Oshimo, who said, "Hi, Mel and the lazy Susan of co-hosts. Happy 2024. I hope you all have a very happy year with many park runs. Ever since Toc mentioned the recording of not park runs, I decided to record them myself again. I stopped recording them when park runs returned with the lifting of COVID restrictions, but I have found a reason to log them again. I'm maintaining a spreadsheet of my notties alongside those entered through the park run website. With that, I'm able to keep track of my not stopwatch bingo. Currently, I've completed 109 notties with 47 not stopwatch seconds ticked off. On average, I should be able to get my not stopwatch bingo in 188 more runs, but the frequency of those runs is up to me. Of course, one could cheat with one's not stopwatch bingo, but I wouldn't do that. Maybe others feel motivated by this idea, as I am. Happy running. Best wishes, Patrick Paddy Shimo."
Oh, good job.
Yeah.
Thanks for writing in, Paddy.
That's right. And one thing that I didn't get to do in my run brief because he had already disappeared down to the lagoon as Paddy volunteered with us on Saturday at Shell Harbour Parkrun for his 50th volunteer. So happy 50th volunteer, Paddy.
Absolutely. Hooray. Okay, moving on. And yes, let us know if you think Paddy's idea is a good one and you take it on.
Yeah.
But we did hear, in addition, from Chris Gore, and he said, "Hi, Mel and Ollie and Sam. Just a couple of comments on the show this week, which we listened to in the car to and from Parkrun this morning. We had our 24 parkruns in 24 hours on the 13th of January, and Phil did indeed complete them all, along with 8 other runners. Phil managed to do all his parkruns in under 24 minutes as well. I managed 5 complete and partially completed another 3. It was a very, very hot day with a temperature above 40 degrees for most of the afternoon, and in the evening and early morning, it didn't get below 30. We did get some relief when we did Whitford Notes Parkrun on the coast, where it was only 35. I had only planned to run until the dinner break. Despite the heat, it was a great day, especially for the support crew and drivers. The other item was to do with Itchen Valley Country Park Parkrun. Karen's family also lives in Hampshire, not far from this parkrun, and last year while visiting, we did this parkrun to get our eye. It is a great trail run with a course that looks confusing on the map, but is actually not too hard to follow once you're running it. We did it in February, so much of the muddy ground was frozen. I imagine it would get a bit messy when it thaws out. It had a friendly crew and a lovely cafe on site for the post-parkrun coffee. Plus, if you display your barcode in your car, you get twice the amount of time on your parking ticket. Looking forward to catching up with you all in a couple of months. Cheers, Chris and Karen." Oh, they must be coming to Palm.
That's right. That's right. And thank you, Chris and Karen and Chris Gore, for sending that in, because, they've got our back. And, I knew I'd heard someone mention their travels to Itchen Valley Country Park Parkrun in the last year or so. So, now I have my memory jogged, and congratulations on the spectacular and horrendous sounding effort of the 24 parkruns in 24 hours in those temperatures.
Yes, it was brought to my attention that that event actually did start in WA, and that Phil had done it multiple times.
Yes.
And he puts his own little spin and challenge to it. He's an incredible man, but also to all those other people that completed it in whatever manner.
Yes.
They did. Yeah. Just seems crazy in that heat to be able to do that. But now it's time. We're going to have a break. Ollie, Phil, hey, we've been going a while. We're nearly an hour. Oh, goodness. Doesn't matter. Now it's time to hear from the birthday boy.
Howdy. It's the birthday boy here with some of the goings on for February 2024. February has 4 parkrun days, on the 3rd, the 10th, the 17th, and the 24th. There are no special days around the world in February. How many weeks are you planning to come to parkrun? What's your parkrun goal for February? Are you getting your volunteer vibe on? An anniversary reminder first. Events may celebrate what they like, when they like, so please check all details with the local source, i.e. their webpage and or their Facebook page. This is especially true for dress-ups, cakes, etc. Is there anyone joining Main Beach, New Farm or Albert, Melbourne on 12? Yes, Kira. Congrats to this lovely event near the border between the greatest state and New South Wales. We have 2 events turning 11 in February. One is Happy, Lake Mac in New South Wales, and one is not, Tuggeranong in ACT, as they are closed for foreshore path renovations with an unknown return date. The works project has several stages, and the overall finish date is expected to be mid-2024, so hopefully they are back before then. Now let's check out the first anniversaries. We have 4 events turning 1, including 3 on the 10th. The affectionately named Ass Parkrun, the Australian Standing Stones in New South Wales, Maria Creek Reserve in South Australia and Point Hut Pond in ACT. The fourth event is on the 24th of the month and it's Newcastle Park. No, not New South Wales. It's in 2J, WA. What else is interesting this month from the other 35 anniversaries? Well, week one's got nearly half of them with 15, ranging from Cyril Curtin Reserve turning 2 through to Tulin Creek turning 9. Many options this month. Week two has got 6 events on, including 2 tens. We've got Ipswich, Queensland in Queensland and Golden Beach, also in Queensland. Week three has got 6 anniversary events. Week four has 8 anniversary events and Nightcliffe is in that week, Northern Territory. For junior park runs, we've got Bellevue Park Junior Park Run at Ashmore on the Gold Coast, again in the greatest state, Queensland. They are turning 3 this February the 25th. It's a Sunday, don't forget. As with all parkrun adventures, the parkrun cancellations page is a valuable tool. See parkrun.com.au/cancellations. The official cancellations page contains information for the coming weekend, plus 2 further weeks, so be sure to check it again mid-month. Well, see you next month for some more birthday boy banter, and be sure to let Mel and Ollie know if you have any requests.
And thank you very much to the birthday boy. And, well, we're back, Mel. So I think it's time for the Consolidated Club Report, though. So how are we doing?
Well, this week's Consolidated Club Report for Saturday, the 27th of January 2024. Of a total of 547 members, 434 took part on this date in 7 countries across 219 locations. In the UK, there were adventures at 29 events. There were 4 events in South Africa, 2 in the USA, and 1 in Ireland and the Netherlands. Locally, we had adventures at 45 events in New South Wales, 41 events in Queensland. There was 40 in Victoria, aka what? Oliver! Just for those playing along at home, Ollie thinks he's very funny and he's changed the greatest state to aka the third greatest state. Yes, 40 events in Victoria, 17 in South Australia, 12 on the west side, 10 in Tassie, 8 in the ACT. The North Island had 6, the South Island had 3, and there were none in the Northern Tree.
So close. And from a Frond perspective, but internationally, the University of Northampton, Frond there of Phil Olson, AMH.
Amanda Murray Hine.
Sorry, Amanda. And Helen and Andy Rutter.
Woohoo! And locally, the largest Frond was indeed at the Ponds this week with 10, Dennis Peden, Jeff Robinson, Manish Bindru, Joe McLean, Penny Prosser, Chirina Giron, Charles Burns, Vincenzo Coco, Kevin Pickup and Rio Lambino. Oh,
but on the launch front,
oh,
I'll throw to you because I don't want to steal your thunder there, Mel.
I just stole your thunder. I didn't pay attention. I'm used to doing that. Yes,
not at
I didn't
all.
Even
not
read
at
it.
All.
Do you want to do it again, Ollie? And you read it? Because I didn't
no,
mean to do
that. No, that's quite okay. I was actually quite glad that you read that one out because it rolled
okay.
off your tongue.
All right. All right.
Yes, but on the launch front, Mel, we had 2 launches.
Yes, indeed, Ollie. We had an event coming to us from Corowa in New South Wales, and it was Ballpark Parkrun. Now, it launched with 105 participants. 37 were first-time parkrunners. This course is 3 out-and-back laps along the Murray River. Now, I thought I'd give you a little bit of insight into Corowa. The town is located in the Murray region in the state of New South Wales. It is on the bank of the Murray River, the border between New South Wales and Victoria, opposite the Victorian town of Wagunya. Wagunya. I've never heard of Wagunya, but there you go. So that was Ballpark. And there was a second launch in the world that we're aware of called Happy Valley. It was in the UK. And as far as we can ascertain, Ollie, it's a closed facility and it does appear to be a military facility.
Mm, yes. But, yeah, welcome to the Parkrun family, Ballpark and Happy Valley. Ballpark, Mel, could that be in the ballpark to be your new Nendy?
Absolutely is my new Nendy.
There we are.
I'll be marking that one on the calendar.
There we go.
Yeah, probably for 4 to 5 hour drive for me. Yay.
You sound thrilled. But, okay, we're going to look forward now. We're going to look forward with a very, very brief reminder as we are getting towards the date where the orders will be closing for the adventurers' shirts. So those adventurers' shirts, those orders are open until midnight on the 11th of February. No shirts are made or sent until after this date. And if you've got any questions, of course, please pop them in the comments or shoot the office lady a message.
Absolutely. Now, looking forward to the next parkrun day, Ollie.
Mm.
Let's start with you. I know that's not what's on the run sheet, but
that's right.
Why be professional now? Why start now?
Let's
just continue the mayhem.
Consistency.
Where are you going to be?
Copy and paste, Mel.
Directing.
Run directing at Shell Harbour Park Run. I do have a few weeks following where I'm not on the roster, but not sure what'll be the plan. But run directing, and with all going to plan, I'll have a 10-year-old that completes her park run again. So we'll see.
We look forward to that happening. And all jokes aside, I know you're there very regularly, but you are a very good volunteer, as was evident in your recent award. So good on you for being such a good volley.
No, thank you, Mel. What about you? Dare I ask?
Insert crying face emoji.
Mm.
So this is one very infrequent occurrence where I actually cannot attend a parkrun. So I have to work. And when work says I have to work, I have to work.
So yes.
Not really any choice. It's very, very disappointing, but I'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. Parkrun will be there for you. So there you have it, adventurers. We're relying on you this week. Extra vicarious adventures for us, please. But at this stage, that's all we are looking forward to. But as we did mention briefly, stay tuned to the next podcast or couple of podcasts for a few more precious details as we approach Palm 24. But thank you for having me back, Mel. It's hopefully been a little more quiet in the background this time around. But of course, if you did hear anything strange in the background, or if you'd like to give any feedback to any of the other conversation topics, or bring on some new ones, you can contact us via Parkrun Adventurers on Facebook or our email, which is parkrunadventurers@gmail.com. That is it for another week, and we'll see you all next week for your adventures.